As we come to approach our scripture this morning in a time of reflection, I want us to be mindful of the context in which we continue our study of the gospel according to St. Mark. The context that I want us to be mindful of is not the context in which the gospel was written, but the context of our times in which we hear that particular reading from Mark this morning. There are three elements that I have in mind that make up that context. The first one is the beginning of the church or the liturgical calendar. The second is the beginning of the season of Advent. And finally, the third one is Christ the King. Jesus Christ is the King of our lives. All of these provide for us the context in hearing God's word this morning. I want to begin with a little bit more information on that. When you think about the church calendar, and to help put the church calendar into perspective for us this morning, is to remember that the church year begins today on the first Sunday of Advent and includes six seasons of the year: Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and Pentecost, where Advent is the expectation of the coming of God in the flesh, incarnate as the King of Kings. Christmas is the arrival of God in Jesus. Epiphany is the revelation of God, the manifestation of God in our world. Lent is our preparation in the way of the Lord, leading us to Holy Week and Easter. And in Easter, we have our Christ resurrected. And Pentecost, which makes up about our ordinary time, which makes up about 50% of the year, is living in the power of the Spirit. Today, we begin Advent, and in Advent, we begin that journey to Bethlehem in Judea, where our King, our Savior, our Lord is born. And finally, we look at the one who is born in Bethlehem, is our King of Kings that we talked about last week, who gives his life, who gives everything for us. That's the King that we follow, the King that we worship, the King that rules over us, that the righteous one is given for the unrighteous, you and me. It is from these three perspectives I just want you to have in mind as we hear and reflect upon our reading from the gospel according to Mark, the second chapter, verses 18 through 22 is what I have. Let us attend to the reading of God's word. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and the people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, and the new from the old, and the worst tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine would burst the skins, and the wine is lost. And so the skins, but one puts new wine into wineskins." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, focus our mindfulness upon you. Focus our mindfulness on the context in which we hear your word. Focus our mindfulness on the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you heard our gospel reading this morning, with those three elements of the church calendar, the beginning of Advent, and Christ as King in mind, what did you hear? What I heard, or where my mind goes from, isn't even the mindfulness of those three elements, but all I can recall, or all I heard, was Jesus talking about fasting, a wedding and the bridegroom, sewing unshrunk cloth on a new cloak, or an old cloak, excuse me, and new wine into old wineskins. The first response I have to that is, okay, who talks like that? I mean, who talks like, don't sew that new patch on that ripped piece of cloth? Don't put new wine into your old wineskins. I mean, that doesn't even fit with our culture anymore. And it's not a part of who we are. So how do we make sense of what Jesus is teaching us or telling us this morning? What does this have to do with who we are and what's going on in our world today? What is going on is that God, in and through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as we hear about in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, is doing a new thing. Jesus is talking about a new thing that is taking place in the world then, today, and tomorrow. A new thing is taking place. Marvelous things are being done. If we go back and recall what happened in chapter 1 of Mark and the beginning part of chapter 2 of Mark, a brief summary reveals to us the following. When Jesus speaks to the fishermen along the Sea of Galilee, they drop what they are doing when he asks them to follow them, and they ask no questions. They immediately follow. When Jesus is in the synagogue and speaks to a man possessed by a demon and asks the demon to leave the man, the demonic departs. When Jesus visits Simon's house and Simon's mother-in-law is ill, she has a fever, or later on when he comes across a leper, he touches them and they are healed. When Jesus, a couple weeks ago, runs into Levi, a tax collector, and we have to put that a little bit in perspective, Levi, who we know as Matthew in the Gospel of Matthew, but Levi, using the word or his name here as Levi, is quite fascinating because who do we think of as Levi? Levi is the tribe of Levi. He's named of the tribe that he comes out of. And what is the role of that tribe? That role of that tribe in Israel is to what? They're the priests. They're taking care of the temple. They're taking care of the sacrifices. They're standing watch over the Ark of the Covenant. They're helping people to grow in their faith and focus upon God. And now Levi, one of that tribe, is doing what? He's working for the very people that are opposed to God. He's a tax collector for Rome. But when Jesus tells Levi to follow him, Levi stops what he is doing immediately and follows. And we read in other gospels that eventually, and we read about it today in Mark, that he sits and eats with tax collectors and sinners. This is what Jesus is doing. What we see in all of this is when God speaks, when God touches someone, a new thing takes place yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Our reading this morning and Jesus' activity is an activity of a new thing. It is God walking in and amongst us. God in the flesh, God incarnate, walks among the people. And the people learn a new thing, or a new thing takes place, or there's recreation in the world. God dwelling among the people. God no longer sitting as the Ten Commandments and the Ark of the Covenant set in the middle of the community. Instead of that presence of God, the presence of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in Advent that we journey towards Bethlehem, is with us, walks with us. And he's talking, he's teaching, he's touching people in the world. And a new thing is brought about as they are healed physically and spiritually. So when our reading this morning talks about fasting and a bridegroom and sowing and wineskins, it's Jesus talking to us, teaching us that God is with us and God is doing a new thing. God is active in our world. If we look at fasting, most religions have a form of fasting as a part of life. And why do you fast? Why would you give up eating or drinking for a period of time? People fast for a variety of reasons, but the primary spiritual part of fasting is to drive one's focus on God, not to be focused on the physical, but to be focused on the spiritual, to be focused on God and what God is doing in and about one's life or the life of the community. The bridegroom, why would you know, Jesus says, you know, we're not fasting because the bridegroom is with them. The bridegroom brings a new thing. Jesus referring to himself as the bridegroom. Why don't you fast with the bridegroom present? Because it's a celebration, it's life. Why would I fast in the midst of a celebration? I wouldn't. But it's more than that. The bridegroom brings a new thing. What happens with the bridegroom? If you read through Scripture, you see the bridegroom and the bride and the speaking of the bridal chamber taking place. What happens with the bride and the bridegroom? Why is that couple getting married? What is going to take place is a new thing, because out of that union, out of that relationship comes what? A child. A new thing, a new person. Hope for tomorrow comes forth. We have a new creation. When we talk about sewing a new patch on old cloth, that just probably boggles our minds today as a new thing, of taking a new thing and placing it in an old thing, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, come on. I grew up where my mom would patch my blue jeans. Today, you wouldn't patch them. You'd probably go try to sell them and gain an extra $100 because you already got them pre-ripped for people. It doesn't make sense to us. We really don't patch and darn clothing like we used to. But that's what the story's about, though, is that you have a new thing, a new fresh piece of cloth sewn on old will create a greater tear because it hasn't been shrunk, hasn't been worn, hasn't been used. And that's why Jesus uses the wineskin story, because, you know, I don't know how you buy wine or beverages, but I don't have an animal skin that I put stuff in that's going to ferment and work that way. That's the whole essence of the whole thing, is you have a new wineskin. How the wineskin was made has its flexibility with it. It can expand. By putting new wine into it, it hasn't fully fermented. So as the new wine in the new wineskin ferments, the wineskin will expand to meet that fermentation process. But if I take new wine and I put it in an old wineskin, a wineskin where it has dried out, or it has shrunk, and as it shrinks, it's drying out because the fermentation process has been completed or it's diminished. When I put new wine into that old wineskin, as the fermentation takes place and you have more rigid leather, it's going to break the old wineskin. The purpose of the stories is to tell us, I believe, from Jesus, that a new thing is taking place. That Jesus is telling us, teaching us, the same old story, but in a different way, that God is with us, that God wants to dwell with us, that God is here and now. It's a new wine, and that's what we're looking for. It's an expectation of the future for tomorrow. As we enter Advent and as we begin the holiday journey to Christmas, think about all the energy that takes place during this season. The energy that is derived from, yes, I know, Black Friday sales, Black Tuesday sales, Giving Tuesday, whatever we're looking at for sales, there is an energy that is generated in purchasing gifts, anticipation of helping one another, of the look on somebody's face when you hand them that gift and they open it up. The anticipation of the birth of a child. And when that child comes into the world, the hope that comes with that child, that new life, that new creation, that new person, as we're reminded that God has not forgotten us in the birth and the hope of our children. God is with us. It's a way of thinking about life and the new life that comes to us and that we celebrate. We have all sorts of traditions in which we celebrate life in the midst of wintertime when things get darker or stay darker longer. We look for life. And that life comes to us in Bethlehem in a month. That life comes to us in one another as we give to one another during this season. That life comes to us in Jesus Christ, dwelling in and among us, being with us and showing us the way to go. God is doing a new thing, and that's what we're watching and preparing for. And that new thing that he wants to do is to be with us, to be that new wine in our lives. And how does God pour that new wine into these old wineskins? Well, it reminds me that we might need to do a bit of stretching, that we might need to stretch and change with ideas that come with God's new wine. And that's the question that I have for us today. As you look for Christ coming, as you look and anticipate Jesus' birth, what are you expecting? What do you hope to find at the birth of Christ, at that cradle, at that nativity? What are you looking for? What do you expect God to bring you for your life? Health? Physical health? Spiritual health? Joy? Happiness? What are you looking for from God? When I think about it, and what I finally realized and this past week as I look at what are we looking for, what we're looking for is life. And how do we find that life in the world in which we live today? The what sticks to me as we look for life in our world today is a reminder, and it's as a old Lutheran, and I looked through the Westminster Confession, and I looked through the catechisms and that, and I couldn't find the phrasing that I wanted is talking about life. So I went back to my old Lutheran tradition, and I found the looking for life in Christ, not just on the cross, but in the gift of his Holy Spirit in our lives. And that gift for me is found in Martin Luther's explanation of Article 3 of the Apostles' Creed, as it talks about the history of our lives as a church, as a community of faith, and as individuals. The third article of the Apostles' Creed speaks to us about the coming of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the belief of the Holy Spirit and living in life with God and being filled with the Spirit. Luther's explanation goes this way. Luther says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and rightly forgives all my sins and sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. What I hear from there is that God is doing a new thing in our lives every single day with Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single day we are created new through prayer, through reading of Scripture, through fellowship with one another. And it's God working in our lives. God calls, gathers, and enlightens us. God is with us in spirit. God is dwelling with us in the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, in our experience of life in general, of with one another. He is always with us. And that's always been a key to me, is I find life in the church and being with one another, in my family being with one another. And how do I find that life? I find that life because not of my own searching, but of God's call through the Holy Spirit. God's brought us together. God gathers us. God shows us the way. God, through the Holy Spirit, does a new thing. A new thing in our lives. So as we move into Advent, as we move to Christmas, as we move to the celebration, that what or where do you see the Spirit moving in your life? What do you expect to find on December 25th in Bethlehem? To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.